Thank you, Josh. Thank you for those announcements. And good morning, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming. It's great to see you. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the Shiurim, the Wednesday morning Shiurim here in Rehavia, are dedicated for the academic year, Le'ile Nishmois Daniel Ben David and Limud Bas Avram Strauss, and Mordechai Ben Moshe and Reisel Bas Yosef Meir Marcus, Zichron Livracha, parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. And the Shia is sponsored, my Shia is sponsored for the full academic year, Le'ilu Nishmos Brana Bas Brandit and Zelig Ben Kalman, Aleim HaShalom. Now, we are in a series of Shirim dealing with Bein Adam L'Chaveiro issues, but those which have a broader theme. We looked at the issue of Kavod HaBriot last week, of human dignity. We've looked at the issue of Yashar V'Toiv, of doing the right thing. Today I want to look at an issue which bothers everybody, certainly under the age of 40, it seems to me today, is that everyone feels that they're being judged. Don't judge me. You're judging me. It's none of your business. And we have a lot to say about this, because I think that that's an old topic, which is still very relevant. And on the one hand, we all know that there's a mitzvah not to judge other people. We're not meant to be judgmental. We'll see where that comes from. On the other hand, the Torah says, Tishpot amitecha. Judge your friend. It says, Betzedek tishpot amitecha. Judge your friend fairly. But you're meant to be a judge of some kind. So when are you judging? When are we not judging? How does that work? It's a fun share. Lots of really interesting topics. Quite a lot to get through. Let's start with the prohibition that we're not meant to be judging other people and see how that applies. So let's look at number one. Starts in Pirkei Avot. Hillel Omer. Al ta'amen ba'atzmacha ad yom motcha. Don't be so confident that you're doing great until Admei Ve'esrim, the day you die. If you've kept it up, then fine. But everything other than that is a work in progress. We are all a work in progress. We'll get back to Yochanan Kohen Gadol in a few minutes. And then it says, Va'al tadin et chavercha, and do not judge your friend, ad she'tagia limkomo, until you reach their place. What does that mean, don't judge your friend till you reach their place? So let's look at a couple of ways of understanding that. Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, number two. Im ra'itza chavercha sheba lidei nisayon v'nichshal. If you see your friend with a challenge in life, which they failed that challenge. Al tadinehu l'chova, don't judge them negatively. Ad shetagia lidei nisayon kemoto, until you've gone through the same challenge. V'tinatel, and you've been successful. How do you know? Maybe you'd have done worse than they did. You're judging them. You've never been through that. Or you may say, well, no, I have been through that challenge and I succeeded, so we'll see. Good. But you've never been them and been through that challenge. You've been you and been through that challenge. So don't be too quick to judge other people. Rabbeinu Yonah, number three, a little bit more on this. Al Yomah, don't say to yourself, if I were in their place, I wouldn't do those bad things. I wouldn't act like they act. Look at how they act. I'd never act like that. You don't really know. You have your own tivas. Tivas b'nei adam. Everyone has a yetzahara. Well, you're walking around like a malach. You have no yetzahara. We also have yetzahara. You don't know exactly how you'd have fared. Maybe you'd have also been tempted. Maybe you'd have also given in. And he adds this point I added. When you get into their situation on their level, being who they are, then you can start to think about judging how they were. But until you are in their place, on their level, in the same situation, then you can't. The Meiri goes even further. The fascinating Meiri, number four. And he makes two separate points, with both of which are very contemporary. So he says as follows. He's in the 14th century. Koloma, number four. Don't judge other people till you've been in their place. Koloma. She'imra ita sheba davar aveira, dvar aveira li yado. If you see them do something wrong, because of the very circumstances that led him to that, and the breach that he caused, he or she wasn't able to deal with it. Al tadinot ola kafchova. Don't judge them negatively. Koloma, what does that mean? Lahachziko berosha gomor. And here he makes a very important point, which we're going to get to. Okay, they did something wrong. That doesn't make them a Rosha Gomor. Everybody's quick to say, oh, he's a Rosha, she's a Rosha. No, that's not what happened here. Maybe they did do something wrong. Maybe you would have done better than them. But that doesn't make them a Rosha. Meaning it's not personal. Shelefamim ein apitropos la'aveira. Because sometimes, you know something? People lose it. People can't help it. Sometimes people just aren't able to... They're not a Rosha. They're just a human being. Okay, maybe they should have tried harder, but you can't always win. V'shema afata, maybe even you, ilu baliyad chakach, if that would have happened to, lo yita sholet ba'atzmacha, you wouldn't have been able to control yourself either. V'ein akol yichonim la'amod b'snisayon. Not everybody can withstand, I can resist everything but temptation. Was that the Oscar Wilde or one of those people? Okay, fine. Mark Twain, I think. Okay? And he brings an example from Perichelik, the Gadatas in Perichelik. If you remember the story, Rav Ashi is teaching over certain halachas, and he's going to deal with Manasseh, the king Manasseh. Manasseh, who was a Rosha, came to him in a dream, and Rav Ashi asked him a shaila, he asked Rav Ashi a shaila, and Rav Ashi didn't know the answer. Manasseh gave him the answer, and Rav Ashi in the dream turns around to Manasseh HaMelech from the Bayis Rishon and says, "If you're such a big chacham, how come you were such a big rasha?" And Manasseh answers him in the dream, "You know why I went to do avodah zarah? E havad bahahi dora. If you'd been in that generation, havad nakita shipula de gamlaich, you would have lifted up your cloak, v'rahita basrai, and you would have run after me." Meaning, you have no idea what it felt like to be tempted by avodah zarah. You're just not in the same place. You don't have that yetzahara. As we know, the temptation for avodah zarah was to a large degree taken away at the end of the first temple, beginning of the second temple. And Manasseh lived at a time, he says, you can't judge me, you don't know how it felt. If you'd have been there, you'd have been running to do that avodah zarah. It's very true. Ve'im kein lotza dinet chavercha. Do not judge your friend, adshe tzigi l'makom dehainu, lo'oto nisayon ba'atzmo v'nitzalta himenu. Make sure you've been in the same place, like them, and you've succeeded, and then maybe you can think. V'kal shekein, all the more so, imra lo, ze mitzad ha'oynes, or even more so, if they've been forced to do something. That was, of course, very relevant because there were people who were forced into conversions, which is Yaharig Val Yavor. A person has to die, God forbid, rather than convert to Christianity for sure. And he says, don't be so quick to judge people who did convert to Christianity. And this was a reality at his time, an increasing reality at his time. Because they were honest, they were forced. You don't know how you would have done that. Not everybody can stand up to them. And then at the end of this piece, he gives a very interesting chiddush, which he's heard from his rabbis, which is very interesting. Uksat rabotai perushuli, and I have some rabbis who explain to me as follows. Al tadin et chavercha, don't judge your friend until you've been in that place. What does that mean? She'im ra'ita adam nochri, if you see a strange new person, be'ircha, in your town, va'ata re'ehu, and you look at them, mesulsal, mithader, mitra'e b'minos chashuvah, they look like a chosh of a person, ooh, frum person, tamid chayin, they look like a really put together person, very nicely presented. Al ta'amoyit hadin ba'atzlacha, ledoina etzlacha, kumuchsak. Don't be too quick, goes the other way as well, to assume, well, yeah, they must be a great person, chosh of a guy. Don't be too quick to assume that. Until you go to their place. What is that place? Shehu Darbo. Go to his home. Go to his town. See what they think of him. Meaning all sorts of people breeze into town looking like Hoshiva people. It's very easy to fake it. Yeah, to walk the walk, to talk the talk. And people think you're a Hoshiva person. He says, no, 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 no. A lot of people who are like that, they're real fakers. Go back to his town. Go see how he talks to his children. Go see how he talks to his wife. Go see what he does when nobody else is looking. V'tireh hanugosav, and see how he behaves. B'makomo, when he's in his private place. V'im maskimot lekach, and see if you agree with him then. Don't look at how he is when he puts himself out to other people. V'as tuchal ladona kein, and then if he really is a chosh of a person, then you can say he is. V'kama pechusim, there are lots of lowlives, he says. They had yotas and real, not great people. Marin talfehem b'makom acher, and they push out their trotters like the pig who says, "Look how kosher I am! I've got split hooves." And when they go to a new place, they dress up and they put on the act. Umitchasdim umitraim k'moshe enu. And they're fake chassidim. It doesn't mean chassidim in the modern sense, but meaning there's a lot of fake people around. So it's funny. He puts it in both directions. When you see people who mess up, don't be too quick to say, well, I'd never do that. And when you see people who look great, don't be too quick, because there are a lot of fake people out there. One can't think that they had had some experience of this in life. As you go through life, you realize not everybody, unfortunately, is what they seem. The Sforno even brings Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol, and then at the end of his life, as an old man, he wins off the derech, becomes a Sadducee. Number five. Yochanan Kohen Gadol l'Rosh HaBazeh. Don't be too quick. Until you know what he was really facing. Even the Kohen Gadol. Nobody is beyond that kind of potential. Everybody, even Yochanan Kohen Gadol, could lose it. And the Magen Avot brings a beautiful midrash, which is not so often quoted, of Shlomo HaMelech sleeping in and missing the opening, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. Very interesting. Look with me in number six. Don't judge your friend until you reach their place. When Shlomo finished off the Beit HaMikdash, he put the keys, he put the keys under his pillow. His intention was to bounce out of bed before light, early in the morning, okay? And he's going to be the first one there leading the charge. In the new Beis HaMikdash, the king's going to be, he even had the keys so he could get in before anyone else was awake. Umaster Bat Paro, and his lovely but not so lovely wife, Bat Paro, who he was married to, which was never a good idea, what did she do? She sets up something on his over his bed, umazalot kochavim mitzuyarim, with star signs and this, al gabi mitaso, kedelahat oiso, to kind of fool him. I don't know exactly what this was, whether it made him think he was still nighttime, or whether it was some kind of, I don't know, Netflix subscription that she's got on the roof, and he's there, you know, sleeping the night away, watching, binge watching the latest movie. Or the equivalent of, okay. Ulihanos Migufoi, Shalosari, because she just wants to be in bed with him. She's got her evil ways to please. The Avru Alav Arba Shahos, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning before he even got up. Shalom Ahmad, the Lord Karov Tamish Shah, and he missed the Korban completely. Totally. The king. Masa Yeravam, what did Yeravam do? Kibet Shevet Ephraim, he gathered together Shevet Ephraim, Shehu Mishvato, Mishivto, for it was from his tribe. Vehishkim lepitchosh Shlomo, laharshia alzod. He goes bang banging on the door of the king. Look at you, who do you think you are? Yatzda Batkol, and a Batkol came out. Va'amrale said to Yeravam, Russia, what an evil person you are. Ata atid libato kamatimidu musafim bemezid. You, look what you're going to do in the future. You're going to build a whole Avodah Zarah. You're going to stop all the Beis HaMikdash korbanos from coming. And you're going to do it on purpose. Va'ata mechaivo al shoygeg. And you blame him because he slept in. I mean, he's the king. He should have got up on time. He should have said. Nevertheless, anyone could. People make mistakes. Even great people make mistakes. Vazesha, Amar Kosov, and responding to Moshe, Kedaber Ephraim Ratat. When Ephraim, when Ephraim spoke with a great passion, okay, what was that for? Kishnirta Ephraim, when Ephraim, the whole Shevet Ephraim, Vyaged al Tamish Shal Akriv, Nasahu be Israel, they became a Nasi, Vyashem Babal Vyamot. And here everyone became guilty because of the Baal, meaning the indignity, the indignation that Yeravam feels is too quick to be like that. There are some people who are too quick to complain about everything. How can this be, and how can you do this, etc., etc. This midrash could apply to pretty much any shul board of management in history, that people are so quick to judge the people in charge. How could you let that happen? How could this be? How could that be? And these people would not only not do as well, but they'd often do worse. That's a very interesting midrash that gives a little bit of a petach to Shlomo. Okay, he didn't do the right thing. No one's justifying that he had a lay-in in the morning with his favorite Egyptian wife, but nevertheless, stuff happens. Rav Nachman of Breslov says why. Little number seven, very interesting, a little bit of Rabbi Nachman. We don't get that enough in the Shirim. When a person sits down and starts talking about other people, Zeb Chinat Rosh Hashanah. This is a moment of Rosh Hashanah. You've put the spotlight on that person. You've decided to speak about that person. That's like a Rosh Hashanah. Shehu Yom HaDinah, it's the Yom HaDin. Shehu Yoshev V'Danit Chavero, you are now sitting in judgment on your friend. V'tzarech Li'ezayim Ezeh Mo'oid, you have to be so careful about this. U'lihistakel Al Atzmo, look at yourself, hate it really well. Imhu Ra'oy Lezeh, Nishpotet Chavero. Are you the right one to be the... Who is the judge on Rosh Hashanah?
Hashem.
What a chutzpah. You have put yourself on the throne of judgment to be the Dayan, to judge the Jewish people. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. Ki HaMishpat Elokim Hu. God to judge the Jewish people. What arrogance. Ki Rak Hu Yitbarach Levado. Ra'ui Lishpot Et Ha'adam. Kamo She'amru Rabbeteinu. Zichron Livracham. Al Tadin Et Chaverich Al Shetikin Lan Kama. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowed to judge, not you. Who can be in the makom of their friend? Only Hashem. Very interesting. Hashem is hamakom. Hashem is the place. God, the world exists within God. God is the makom. God doesn't exist within the world. Well, that's a very interesting philosophical idea, but that's not why he's bringing it. The makomo is a reference to Hashem here. Only hamakom can judge a person. That's what we say, by the way, the shiva, hamakom yinachem etchem, hamakom yirachem etchem, if it's a person who's sick. Meaning, we don't get involved in, we don't know why things happen or what people did, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. And Rav Charlap, just to underline this section, says as follows. Ad kidei kach, you have to feel so much, shelo yimsa et ad. You want to judge another person, you have to feel such a sense of connection to that person, love for that person. It's as if you're talking to yourself. That's what it means until you reach that place. Before you judge anyone else, put yourself right in that place and say, could I ever be judged about something like that? You sitting on the bench there being accused with him. So I think it's very clear, just to underline this section, that we're never, ever, ever allowed to judge other people for things they did personally. Because who knows what you would have done, what I would have done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true judge. And therefore, we're not allowed to be judgmental. It's very, very hard because we're all very judgy what people are wearing, what people are saying, especially clothes. You know, one of the and it works not just women, men, whatever. One of the painful things about sneers as a topic, and I wrote about this in the book that I wrote about sneers, is because it carries with it this problem constantly. That it's not just people are commenting upon what people are wearing; it's people are judging based on, and people don't only judge the person; people judge a whole segment of the Jewish people. People don't look at a piece of clothing and say, well, I mean, men and women, usually women, I can't wear that, it looks, it's too long, it's too short, it's not cut right. They say, I can't wear that, it's so Beis Yaakov. Whoa! You've just used this opportunity to undermine an entire segment of the Jewish people. Yashar koach gadol. Who are you going to ask for mechila? You're going to go around every Beis Yaakov in school and ask for mechila? Say you don't like it because it makes you look frumpy, it makes you look this, it makes you look that. Say what you like, but don't say, oh, I can't wear that. It's too modern. Modern. When I was growing up, modern was a positive word. Who didn't want to be modern? You want to be old-fashioned? Modern was great. Now you can't even use the word. When you're advertising or publicity material, you can't say, come and see our new modern-based medrash. You know, no, it can't be modern. Modern is just a passive-aggressive word that people think they're being polite, but they're really putting down an entire group of the Jewish people. Oh, that's too modern. And they make out, look, I'm not judging, I'm just saying he was more modern than me. Of course you're judging. You're judging completely. Okay? So we are very, very much in need of chizuk on this issue. So that's part one. Part two, though, is the halachic issue when you need to judge. Look at number 9. Lo ta'ase avel b'mishpat. It sounds like he's talking to a judge. Do not corrupt judgment. Lo atisa p'nei dal, do not favor the weak. You feel sorry for them. Oh, okay, he gambled because he's poor. No, you can't do that. The Lord said up in a godel, and don't give favor to the wealthy, the mighty, the people who are important, the choshev people. No, you have to be completely fair. But tzedek tishpot amitecha. Judge your friend, but tzedek, fairly, justly. It's interesting. Everyone, you give this to anyone, they say, what's the word tzedek? They all come out with the word righteousness. It's very funny. No one ever uses that word in real English. But I can guarantee you, ask any kid who's come out of high school, what does tzedek mean? Righteousness. It's like they don't even know what that word means. It's like a Pavlovian reaction. Psh. Okay? There's a problem with this pasuk, though. It sounds like he's talking to a judge. Don't favor the poor. Don't favor the rich. Judge everybody, but tzedek. But it uses a word at the end of that pasuk which does not belong in a court, which is amitecha. You don't have friends in court. You're not meant to have friends in court. On the contrary, if it turns out that you're the judge and your friend comes up in front of you, you have to recuse yourself. You're not allowed to judge them. Amitecha, that's not okay. And therefore, you see that Rashi is playing with this as well, bringing Chazal. But Tzedek Tishvat Amitecha, he says at the top of page number 3, Kemashma'o, his first chat is, yeah, it's what it sounds like, in a court, don't judge unfairly. Davar Acher, alternatively, Havidon et Chavercha Lekaf Schutz. Now, judging your friend, lekaf schutz, the kaf obviously is the, in the old scales, the moznaim, you know, they go up and down, and the kaf schut is the positive side, the whatever you call that thing, the dish that goes down. But that's the opposite of betzedek etishbad amitecha, meaning betzedek means fairly, it doesn't mean favorably. The judge in a courtroom is not allowed to judge people favorably. That's not their job. Oh, the guy knifed someone. Oh, they were just trying to open an envelope, and you know, they've got dyspraxia and they can't control their arms. And we don't. That's not a job for the judge. The judge has to look at the evidence and judge betzedek. But on the other hand, when you look at your friend, apparently you have to judge bekaf schut. It's not the same thing. How can these two apparently different ideas come out of the same pasuk? Rashi's coming off the Gemara in Shavuos, which brings these two ideas in number 11. Betzedek tishvat amitecha, Tan Rabban, it says, Shelo yehei echad yoshev echad omed. This is in a court. The judge can't have one litigant standing uncomfortably, and the other litigant, he can sit down. It's not fair. Echad medabe kol tzarko. One can have a full speech. Ve'echad omed, and the other one, he says to him, Ktsar devarecha. No, that's enough. I've heard enough of you. He can't do that. But say they do. Betzedek tishvat amitecha. It has to be fair. Havidan is chaver kolekav schus. And now das davar acher. Then, like Rashi said, alternatively, you have to judge your friend favorably. Tani Rabbi Yosef betzedek tishvat amitecha. Am sheitcha b'torah u'mitzvot. This is talking about someone who is with you in Torah and mitzvot. Hishtadel ladono yafe. Try to judge them yafe. So this is a very important statement. What does it mean, someone who's with you in Torah and mitzvot? So we'll see that actually what's going on in the mitzvah of Dana Kafshut is a very precise analysis by the person of what happened here. What did this person do? And we'll see in a minute, are they a tzaddik? Are they a rasha? What do those words mean? This is a very very specific analysis. It's not just you ask people, what does it mean, Dana Kafshut? So the kids will come out of school, they'll say, it means you have to think nicely about everybody. But they don't really believe that. The benefit of the doubt, but what if there's no doubt? What if it's so clear? How else could you interpret this? And also, you can't go through life with some kind of rose-tinted spectacles. Everybody's nice. Everybody's good. Surely they'd never think. Surely they don't. You'll never be able to look after yourself. There's a word for that in Hebrew. It's called the freier. Yeah? You can't be a freier. People are going to walk all over you. You can't. What's that? Okay, innocent until proven guilty. But on the other hand, sometimes you've got to make a decision. Sometimes important things rest on it. You know, let's say, I like to give a case. Let's give a case. Let's say you've got a young woman comes to babysit for you tonight. For your grandchildren, for your children, okay? And you're driving through town, and you see her standing in a very sketchy part of town, outside a place which is known to be a place where they deal drugs. And she walks, you stop the car, you're looking. And she walks into the shop. She talks to a shady looking guy in the shop. He gives her a brown paper bag. She shoves it under her coat. She comes out, she looks around, and she sort of runs up the road. And this girl's coming to babysit for your kids tonight. Innocent until proven guilty? Is that how it works? Well, maybe she's picking up a prescription for maybe the grandmother's on medical marijuana, maybe they're that. No. They're, you're not going to turn around and say, yeah, she'll be fine, I'll leave her with my kids, what could go wrong? It's not so straightforward. You have to work out how to work out those cases. So that's certainly those two poles. You judge in a courtroom fairly, and we're going to judge our friends favorably. We'll see what that means. We haven't put that together yet. And the Gemara brings another interpretation, number 12. Rav Acha Breda Rav Ika Amar, Midoraisa Chatna Mikosha. One person on a Torah level could be a sole judge. Shinaba Tinema, but said it Tishbot, not Tishbatu. Tishbot, singular. You must judge. One person can be a judge. Tishbot amitecha. Elimishum yoshvei karonos. What's yoshvei karonos? Amaratzim, people who don't really know. If you pick one person to be a judge, then you might have picked a doozy, you know what they say. Whatever, you might be a person who's not really capable of judging. Ah, ati batzlasim mi loy havi yoshvei karonos. How do you know you didn't pick three? Nebuchim might get three dayanim who were all yoshvei karonos. No, yev shadaleis v'huchad degame. One of them was bound to know something. It's very unlikely to get three people who didn't know. If you look at what the Rambam says, he translates all of that into the mitzvah in a way which is slightly different, very interesting, which will lead us into the next stage. Number 13. HaMitzvah Kufayin Zayin. Mitzvah number 177. He shed sinitzdavu hadayanim v'hashvot bein ba'alei dinim. The dayanim have a mitzvah to be fair between the two litigants in court. Sheyu nishma kol echad mehem, each one has to have their say, im orach dvarav, whatever length, or kitzuram, or whatever short, you have to give them the same if you want to speak long, short, they both have to have the same. V'hu amru yitzaleh, the same tishma metecha, uba perish sifra, and he quotes the sifra, shelo yehe echad medabi kol tzarko, ve'echad oimel o kitzad, ve'echad, just like we saw. That's just one of the reasons, one of the explanations of this mitzvah. Ubogam kein, I give you another one, says the Rambam. Shekol ish mitzuvah ledun din Torah. It's very interesting. Not that one person can be a judge, but if you're the person, you need to be the judge. If you can make shalom between two people and you have the wherewithal, you know what you're doing, and you know what the halacha is, then you can't stand by and say, oh, it's none of my business. You have an obligation to get involved, obviously, if you know what you're doing, and to be the dayan. Obibir amru, and he brings Sanhedrin here, echad danin chaveru dvar Torah, shenema b'tzedik tishpat avitzecha. V'yesh bo od. And there's another explanation. Sheroi ladon es chaveru lekaf schut. Just brings it down, you should judge your friend favorably. V'lo yifarish ma'asav udvarav ela letov v'chesed. You should try and explain what they're doing as being good, as being the right thing. Now, Rav Hirsch, you can read in your own time on the bottom of page 3, who tries to bring shalom between these two different approaches. What does it mean the judge has to be fair, but you have to be favorable? And he wants to say one's in the courtroom, one's in society, but I'm going to bring you a different approach, which I think is more interesting halachically, which the Rambam himself is going to spearhead. So let's go over to the next page, because this is where I think it's going to get interesting. Is this mitzvah, B'tzedek Tishbot Amitecha, a Torah mitzvah or a rabbinic mitzvah? And the answer is a Torah mitzvah. It's in the Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah, number 50. Yesh alecha lahatos asafik la'achri lekav zchut. You should judge a questionable situation favorably. Okay, you have to judge. If you judge other people favorably, then God will judge you favorably. You are the midah keneged midah. You judge favorably, God will judge favorably. And that's the Torah mitzvah shenemar b'tzedek tishpot amitecha. Again, he brings the Torah mitzvah and includes within it this idea of judging people favorably. And how do these two go together? He doesn't explain, but clearly he says it's a Torah mitzvah. But then when you get to Pirkei Avos, number 16, Yeshua ben Parachi Omeha Havdanes Hadam Lekav Zchut, the things that you read in Pirkei Avot, are they Torah obligations? Generally speaking, not. They're kind of icing on the cake. They're good midas. They're extra. There's midot chasidut. Meaning you smile at everybody rather than scowl at everybody. Okay, that's not, if you want to walk around with a miserable face, you're not breaking a Torah mitzvah. But you're not doing the extra level of being a more approachable person. So the things we see in Pirkei Avot, we do not expect them to be Torah mitzvah. It doesn't say in Pirkei Avot, keep Shabbat, keep kosher, don't speak Lashon Hara. It says these extras. Well, I thought we said it was a Torah mitzvah. If it's a Torah mitzvah, then it's obviously not an extra. It's a Torah mitzvah. And the Rambam says explicitly, number 17, Tzarich bederech ha-chasidut. It's an extra level of chasidut, he says, Shitadin lekaf zchut. But one second, the Rambam just included this in his description of the mitzvah in the Torah. He said mitzvah number, whatever it was, 177, is Tishbat Amitev. Now he's saying it's a derech chasidut. How do those two things live together? It's different. And so too, when the Rambam describes a midah of a Talmid Chacham, says number 18, Talmid Chacham lo yehet soik. A Talmid Chacham, which means anyone who represents Torah to the general public, shouldn't scream and shout. V'tzavech b'shad diburoi k'behemus v'chayas, shouldn't act like a vildechaya. Talk like a vildechaya, should be gentle. Lo yibir kola b'yose, shouldn't raise their voice more than they need to. Ela diburoi b'nachasim kola b'riyos, they should speak nicely and gently with everybody. U'magdim shalom, they should be the people who say hello first. Halavai, you know, it's, you know, people, you can walk down certain roads in certain Jewish communities on Shabbos and it's like you're invisible, you know. So, I'm not naming any communities, God forbid, otherwise that would be...
You're not a woman either.
I'm not a woman either. Well, I can't disagree with you on that one, but you're right. Women also have a different... I'll tell you something. I was once, many years ago, walking through a certain place, I'm not going to say where it was, where I didn't expect anyone to say Good Shabbos to me. And this man walked past me. He's not the only person who ever said Good Shabbos to me. But this man walked past me with a big smile and said, Good Shabbos. Like this, and I was like so taken aback. Thought like, gosh, that doesn't happen to me so often. And then I'm walking past him and thinking, who is that man? I know, I reckon, I realised he was Rav Shlomo Kalbach. It was Rav Shlomo Kalbach. That's the one and only time that I met him. He actually passed away the next week. When he was on the flight back from where we were to somewhere else, I'm not saying where it was, and that was my encounter with and really this idea of shalom in the street, it really affected me. Okay, umakdin shalom lekol adam. So everybody, you should be the first person to say hello. Kadesh say rucha nochemene, so that you get on well with people. Vadan it's kol haadam lekaf schus, and you have to judge kol adam lekaf schus. Again, talmid chacham, not the bottom line halacha, the extra halachas. So the answer here, which is going to put it all together, is in the wording. In the pasuk in the Torah, which is the Torah mitzvah, it says, "Betzedik tishpot amitecha chavercha your chaver." That's the Torah mitzvah. In Pirkei Avot, what does it say? Kol Adam, Kol Adam. There's a big difference between a Kol Adam and a chaver, and that's going to open up the whole sugya. Look at number 19. This is the Rambam on Pirkei Avot. He's going to explain it all very clearly. Number 19. Havidan et kol ha'adam lekaf tzchut. What does that mean? Inyano, here's the meaning. She'im yihye adam she'eino yadua lecha. Someone you don't know. Your chaver, by definition, you know. You have a chibur with your chaver. You have a connection. But this is a kol adam. You don't know them from Adam, as they say in English, which is very interesting. Lo teidar im tzadik, hu or rasha. You don't know if they're a tzaddik, you don't know if they're a rosha. And the chiddush here, tzaddik and rosha, don't mean holistic characters, like sort of cardboard cutout stereotypes of the tzaddik. It means the tzaddik in this mitzvah. There are certain mitzvot that you can look at a person and say, they'd never break that mitzvah. Okay, they're not perfect, they make mistakes, but then that's just not possible that they would do that. Okay, or Rosha here doesn't mean an evil person. It means that, okay, I don't know whether they're a Rosha holistically. Maybe in Gan Eden they'll be way ahead of me. But this mitzvah, they don't do. Don't forget, from the Torah, a Rosha is someone who does not perform a mitzvah, a specific mitzvah. And a tzaddik is someone who does perform this mitzvah. It's not talking about the people. It's not the personalities. It's did they do this thing wrong? You see somebody doing something, it looks sketchy, it looks strange. Here's some more examples. We had the one about the young lady babysitting. I'll give you another example. You walk past McDonald's and you look through the door, look through the window, and your rabbi is sitting there eating what looks like a Big Mac. Okay? Cheeseburger. And you think to yourself, what's happening here? Is this rabbi eating a cheeseburger? Yes or no? Another case you could think of. You go into the Makolet. Somebody walks into the Makolet. Goes up to the shelf, picks up a tub of cottage cheese, puts it in their bag, and walks out. Oh, I've just witnessed a theft. Is this person a shoplifter? Or are they not a shoplifter? Maybe the person bought some yogurt or whatever it was, cottage cheese, last week, and they looked at the date, and the date was already out of date. I'm sure that's happened to you once or twice. You buy something, and you go, but he went back to the colleague, said, fine, just put it here, just take another one off the shelf, it's fine. How do I know? Maybe this person is a thief, maybe they're not a thief. Says the Rambam, you need to know whether they're a tzaddik, meaning would they have done this thing wrong, or a rosha, or would they definitely not have done it wrong, or would they almost certainly have done it wrong, or maybe they're in between, we'll see. But a kol adam, I don't know anything about them, nothing. I can't judge, I have no information. Lo teda im sadik hu or rasha. End of the first line of 19. V'tirehu, and then you see them. Ose mase or ome davar. You see them doing something, saying something. She'im yufurish ba'ifin ma. If I explain it a certain way, harehu tov. Then it comes out, he did a good thing. Ve'im tifreshehu ba'ifin acher. But if you explain it a different way, harehu ra. Maybe it was a bad thing. Parshehu katov. Judge it favorably. Al tachshav bo ra. Why do you think bad of people? Meaning, you're not really making a judgment. It's like going to a judge in a courtroom and saying, judge this person. Where's the evidence? We have no evidence. Well, I can't be a judge if there's no evidence. The answer is, okay, you're not being a judge here. This is the midot chasidut. Why don't you think of the world in a positive way? Be a half full person, not a half empty person. Of course, if it really matters and you need to know, you're not going to make a decision based on this judgment. This person with the cottage cheese, he then comes to you next week in your company for an interview. It's going to be responsible for your finances. Okay, so now it matters. Because now I need to know, do I give them a job or not give them a job? So I can't just think, oh yeah, I'm sure they're great. I have to really look into it. But when it doesn't matter, they're a kol adam. You're just looking at people in the world. Do you look at people like, you know, the Midrash with Shimon Bar Yochai and his son and Elezer, you know, burn everybody up. Everyone you look at is, because everybody's a rasha. No, don't be like that. Look at people in a positive way. Of course, when it really matters, then you've got to judge. But here you can't judge. So that's the kol adam. And that's why, says the Rambam, that's a Talmid Chacham. Should be seeing the world as half full, not half empty. But that's someone you don't know. Second box, number 19. Aval.
Excuse me, one second. The example of the cottage cheese might not be a good example.
Why?
Because you actually have a responsibility to admit to the makola. So you actually might have to just have to excuse me to do pay for that because you owe it to the store owner.
Okay, but then you're being choshed somebody of possibly God. Let's say it was your Rav. Let's say it was your Rav. And your Rav comes in and you say, excuse me, did you pay for that? Like, I va'avoy. You choshed me of stealing cottage cheese for 7 shekels? Meaning, it really matters who they are. It really matters who they are.
Correct.
I was saying it's a kol adam. So it's a kol adam. Maybe, okay, so you could do that. You could do that. It's not saying you're not allowed to do that. It's saying that, you know, you're worried about my kolad. A lot of people cheat from the steal from my kolad. You want it? You could do that. You will start a fight. And you have to think about whether that's going
to...
I don't know if you need to. I don't know if you need to, because there are all sorts of good ways to explain why they did that. You don't have to assume that everybody is a thief. Maybe it depends on where you are. Meaning, in some parts of America, honestly, you walk into Target or stores or CVS, whatever, I go there quite a lot, and there's nothing on the shelves. Everything's just locked up. It's either locked up or there's just the shelves are empty and there's like a QR code that scan this thing and someone will come and bring you the item. Why? Because they're choshed that everyone's going to steal everything. So maybe there, that's actually the last place you want to ask someone, excuse me, did you pay for that? Okay? Because then you won't get out of there. But in a normal place, maybe not. Okay, second box. Aval. Imaya ishya dua. Second option, there a person that you know. Shehud tzaddik. They wouldn't do that. Okay, my rabbi is not perfect. But there's no way in the world he's eating cheeseburgers in public in McDonald's. It's just not, it's not possible. It's just not possible. In a trade McDonald's. Yeah, obviously. Yes, yes. Kosher McDonald's, you know, fine. In a trade McDonald's in America. There's no way, meaning rabbis have yetzeharos. But not for that. Not for that. There's a story of Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab was walking the subway and he saw one of his balabatim eating a treif hot dog in the New York subway. And he's thinking, like, you know, the chaverim in Washington Heights there, in Broyers, again, they're not perfect. Maybe a chiddush that yekkers are not perfect, but even yekkers are not perfect. But they don't eat hot dogs on the subway. They just don't. Never. So he said, there must be something else going on here. No idea what. Has to. He's a tzaddik. Later, he gets a little note to visit the guy in hospital. And the guy's in hospital and he says, you know, what's wrong? He goes, I've got a bleeding ulcer. And the doctor told me that if I have an attack or whatever, I have to put food in my system. And you'll never guess the kind of tarfus I've had to eat just to save my life. He says, no, I can guess. I can guess what the tarfus is. So if the person is a tzaddik, what does that mean? V'nirahu maaseh v'kotz chunosev yorah ha'liyosu maaseh ra. And you see them doing things, it looks 99% terrible. How could I explain this positively? The only way to explain it positively is very far-fetched. Terribly far-fetched. And highly unlikely. How could this be positive? It looks terrible. Nevertheless, you have to assume that it's good. Why? First of all, it could be. There is a way, even far-fetched, of describing it as good. You can't suspect them. And that's why it says, if you are choshed kasherim, then you deserve malchus. The person's a tzaddik. It looks 99% bad. Okay, maybe they stopped being a tzaddik. How do I know? Maybe my rabbi suddenly had a complete meltdown. And 5 minutes before said, that's it, I'm throwing off my whole, God forbid. The answer is, that's not how you walk around the world. People who are a tzaddik, someone with a tzaddik has a chazaka. You have a chazaka. Every time you walk in front, one foot in front of the other. Well, you're thinking maybe the ground will disappear from under my feet and there'll be an earthquake. Who knows? It happens. You can't go through life like that. Your assumption is whatever has been until now will be going forward. The person was a tzaddik, they remain a tzaddik. Obviously, if the evidence keeps building up and all of a sudden you hear, did you hear about Rabbi so-and-so? He's kind of gone nuts. Okay, then you can start reassessing. But the guy who is in the McDonald's, there's no way it's bad. It's definitely good. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there at the end. We'll get to the end. Be'ezrat Hashem. And the third box here. V'chein, im haya rosha. What if the person's a rosha? What does he mean, a rosha? Nitparsamu masav. They're well known that they don't do this. I don't mean that they're a rosha. You don't know if they're a tzaddik or a rosha because you've never stood in their place. How dare you judge someone as a rosha? Rosha here means, no, they don't keep that mitzvah. I have a next door neighbor, let's say. He's a lovely guy. He doesn't keep kosher. He just doesn't. He's a non-religious Jew. He doesn't keep kosher. So and then he invites me to his house for a meal. I can't eat there. He doesn't keep Shabbos. He doesn't keep kosher. But then I see him running around town asking, is this Mahadran? Is this basically Yosef? Is this? Oh, maybe he now keeps kosher. Maybe I could eat there. No, he doesn't keep kosher. You can't assume just because he's running around doing something that looks positive that now he knows all about kashrus. Now he has an emunas. The guy doesn't know anything. I can't eat there. I'm sorry, he still remains a Rasha. Not a Rasha that I blame him for, but he's not going to serve me kosher food. He's not going to know what that is. So what happens then? And everything about what I'm now seeing looks amazing. And it's very unlikely that it's going to be bad. Nevertheless, tzarich lehishamer mimenu. You have to steer clear of that person. They haven't changed. People remain what they are until the evidence spills up. Someone who's a fraud and a scammer and a swindler, and then one of your neighbors comes, oh, I met that nice man and he said he's going to lend me money, and he's going, don't go near him. Oh, well, maybe he did tshuva. Maybe the guy's now relents. No, he's a swindler. He's a swindler. You have to warn people, stay away from him. The guy's a swindler. Don't believe that it's good. This is the mitzvah. But tzedek tishpat amitecha means you have to judge people fairly. Now, in many cases, because many people are tzaddikim for many mitzvahs, that means favorably. But favorably is fairly, because they're a tzaddik, they have a chazaka. You can't think bad of them. But sometimes that mitzvah is, you have to judge them bad, because they're a rosha for this mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to judge a person you know in a kind of vaguely positive way. That's a kol adam. But not a chaver, someone who is a chaver, you have to know they're a tzaddik, they're a rosha. My rabbi is a tzaddik for eating treif in McDonald's. He's not a tzaddik for double parking on Friday morning when he buys challahs. You see a rabbi driving in America, parking, blocking the road, it runs in for challahs. What are you going to say? Oh, must be a challah emergency. There's a pikuach nefesh. There's someone who, if they don't eat challah, they're going to die. And that's why, no. The guy's just not considerate, he didn't park well, he didn't drive nicely. Oh, a rabbi could do that? Unfortunately, that can happen. I'm not sure they're a rosha. I'm not sure rabbis have a din of a rosha that they always drive badly. Maybe they're what's coming up next is a beinoni, but some people have a tzaddik for this and a rosha for that. Number 20. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the im hu mina beinoinim, not everybody's a tzaddik and a rosha, meaning not everybody can you say about them that never do this wrong. Or say about them, they never do this right. Some people are, but many people are not. Many people have beinonim. What's a beinoni? Asher yizharim in a chet. They try. They try to avoid it. Ufamim yichshelu boy. But sometimes they, they fail. That's a lot of people for a lot of things. Most people for lashon hara. Most people are not tzaddikim. that you, I can't believe. There are people who are. I know people who I don't believe a word of Lashon Hara would leave their lips, but most people are not. Most people are not Rishayim. Rishayim are like gossipers, Balei Lashon Hara. I don't know many people like that. Most people are Beinonim. They do well most of the time, but every now and then they just, they can't resist. Or they forgot. Yeah. That's a great question. That's a great question. Oh, that's a good question. Well, maybe you might take the view that, you know, I'm not Paskin in Shilas, but once these people become political public figures, then they open themselves up to public scrutiny. It depends on how you say it and what you say, etc. I don't think politicians, you should be scared to say anything about them. On the other hand, people have crazy ideas. This one must be this, and this one must be that. It has to make sense. But a Beinoni, what should you do? If you can make it look, you know, on the good side, then great. We're going to see that tomorrow right now. But if they're a Beinoni, meaning it could really go either way, they're not a tzaddik, they don't have a chazoka, where if it's 99% bad, it must be good. They're a Beinoni. But it looks bad, then I can't really judge it. I've got to be careful. Don't be too quick to say it's bad, but you can't judge it positively. Why? It's very analytical, because you're the judge. Isn't it a TV program? You're the judge. You are the judge. Here, in a private situation, you're not a judge of the person as a holistic person, because we never judge individuals. You're a judge of the circumstances. What happened here? Did this person steal the cottage cheese? Did this young girl buy drugs? Did this rabbi eat treif? And I need to know. Why? Because the girl's babysitting for me. I need to know the answer. So, okay, let's take that case. A teenage girl, 18-year-old in your community, you don't know her that well, but she's a nice girl from a frum family. Can you say with absolute certainty she's a tzaddik? There's no way she would ever be buying drugs.
No.
I don't think so. People, it's a very complicated world we live in. Can you say that she's a Russia? She's a, well, if she's a drug dealer and a drug addict, then yeah, okay, what do you think she's doing? But that's not most people. But it's just a Beinoni. And then you have to add up, well, what happened here? And you have to look, is it more than 50% good? Is it more than 50% bad? Maybe you have to live it as a Sofik. And then is the next question, which is not this mitzvah. So I've judged the situation. What should I do? Do I call them up? Do I call the police? Do I speak to the parents? That's another mitzvah. What do you do? Loitam al adam riecha, does she need my help, etc. But that's not this mitzvah. This mitzvah is, I need to know what happened, and I don't have all the facts, I'm not judging any individuals, what happened? Tzadik, Rosha, Beinoni, etc., etc. So, have a look at the Gemara, which is very interesting, that deals with this. First of all, before we do the Gemara, let's have a look at number 22. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbi Debeyi Rabbi Shmuel, Im Ra'id Tamid Chacham, if you see a Tamid Chacham, Sha'avar Avei Rabbi Laila, and he did something wrong at night. He did something wrong. Al Taher HaRachar B'Yom, don't think bad of them the next day. Shema Asa Tshuva, because maybe they did Tshuva. And he's about Tshuva, says the Gemara. Shema Saka Tatach, well, maybe they did Tshuva. Elevadai Asa Tshuva, they for sure did Tshuva. They're a Talmud Chacham, they must have done Tshuva. Says the Gemara, Vahani Mili B'Dvarim Shebegufoy. That's with most matters. Aval B'Mamoinoi, when it comes to money, Adam Ahad Lamari, you can't assume that anyone did tshuva for money things, because even a Talmud Chacham gets tempted when it comes to cheating. Everybody is tempted by money, and everybody is tempted, Ein Apitropos La'arayas, everyone is tempted by sexuality. Other things you can judge, they did tshuva, but don't be a friar. There are plenty of people who didn't resist, again, I'm not going to judge them individually as a person, didn't resist the temptation to cheat when it comes to money. Also Talmud Chachamim, the Gemara says this. Don't be naive. And when it comes to sexual issues, everybody has to be as careful as everybody else. There's nobody that is beyond that. There are Gemaras, there are unbelievable Gemaras of, who was it? Rabbi Amram, I think it was Rabbi Amram, there were captives in the roof. That sounds a bit weird, there were captives in the roof. They brought some, they were paid pigeon shvuim, and they brought some women back home. that were, and they put them in the roof out of the way in the attic so they wouldn't disturb them. And, and he walked underneath and he caught a glimpse of one of these women, and she was unbelievably good looking. And he schlepped the ladder to the attic, and he starts climbing up the ladder. And he can't stop himself. And then he suddenly starts screaming in the middle, "There's a fire in the house! There's a fire in the house!" And everybody runs in. They see him climbing the ladder to get to these women. And they say, "How embarrassing." He goes, "No, it would have been more embarrassing if I'd have got to the top." I mean, he knows that even the great Talmid Chacham, some things that are major Yetzer Haras, and we've seen this with our own eyes over the years. But generally speaking, people don't be choshed a Talmid Chacham for other areas. Now let's look at this Gemara in Shabbos, number 23. Tan Rabbanan. If you judge others favorably, either God will judge you favorably or the others will judge you favorably. Let's look at this story. Beautiful Gemara in Shabbos. There was a man who came down from the upper Galilee. And he went to the south and he worked as a schlepper, as a laborer for this man in the south, Sholosh Shanim, for 3 years. Now the Ga'anim had a Masorah, and look in the Shiltas, that the man who came from the north was Rabbi Akiva in his younger days, when he was not yet a Talmid Chacham, and the man in the south was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, one of the richest men in Israel, and also a major figure in the Tanaim. So he went to work for the other one. Fine. Erev Yom Kippurim. It's very important. Erev Yom Kippur. Everybody's making an effort on Erev Yom Kippur. The one day a year. Like, I want to at least get this right if I can. Amaloi, Rabbi Kiva says to him, "Ten li schari, I suddenly realize I need to go. Ve'elech, and I'm going to go. Ve'azoleh tishti ve'benai, and I'm going to go and feed my wife and children. I've been away for 3 years. And they're waiting for me. I'll bring back some money." Amaloi, he said to him, "Eli mos, I've got no money. Sorry, can't pay you." Amalai said to him, "Taili Paris, give me produce." Amalai, "Ainli, no produce." "Really, no produce? You're one of the richest men in Israel." "Tenli Karka, give me some land, the deeds to some land for my money." "Ainli." "Tenli Behema, give me animals." "Ainli." "Tenli Karin Vakastos, give me anything, give me pillows, blankets, I've got to take something home." "Ainli." "Nothing." Hishul Kelav Lachayrav, he threw his pack on his back. The Halach Lebeisu B'Pachin Nefesh, he went back home devastated. You know, he's going to walk in, what's his wife going to say? After 3 years, what do you have to bring home? Klum. La'acha HaRegel, after Sukkos, Natal Balabais, Rabbi Lezer from the south, takes Scharo B'Yado, he takes all the money for Rabbi Akiva in the north. The Imoi Masu Gimel Chamorim, and he takes three extra donkeys. Echad shel machel, one loaded with food. Echad shel mishter, one loaded with drink. The echad shel mini maganim, and one loaded with chocolates and sweeties and whatever. Nice kings, things that they'll like. The halach lo lebeiso, and he goes to his house. By the way, there's a ribbis question there. I'm not getting into that now, but that's for another time. Acha she'achlu v'shasu. After they ate and they drank, nasan leschari, gave his money to Rabbi Akiva. Amalei, he said, "Okay, now I want to ask you. When you said to me, give me your money, give me my money, the Amarti, and I replied, Eli Mos, I've nothing. What did you think was going on?" So Rabbi Kiva says, "Amarti, I thought, Shema Pragmatia Bazol Niznam Lalacha. Maybe you suddenly had a deal that came up, a special offer. Okay? The Lakachta Bahem, and the money, the cash. Went in. Has it ever happened that someone came to your house, did a job, and you want to pay them? Oh, I've got no cash. Hands all the time. Says that. Maybe that happened. You didn't have any cash. You know, he asked him, you know, as a surprise. Didn't have any cash. Could be you ran out of cash. Okay. When you said to me, "Tenli behema, give me animals." The Amarti ainli, and I said, "I've no animals. Ainli behema." But machashatani, what did you think of me then? Amarti, I thought shema muscharus biyadachem. Maybe all these animals that I can see, they're all leased out. They're all going to other people. You can't give them away. They're all, you owe them all to other people to who rented them. Maybe. Possible. But Shasha Martali Teli Karka, when I said to you, "I'd no land, Amartilcha Eini Karka," but Machashani, what do you think? Amarti Shelo Mucheris, Biadacherimi, maybe it's let out to sharecroppers, maybe the land, it looks like it's land, but you don't have the rights to give it away. Ubishasha Martali, when you said Amartilach, when I said to you, "Eini Peris, I have no produce," but Machashani, what did you think then? Amarti, says Rabbi Kiva, I thought, "Shema Eino Mu'usaros." Maybe you can't give it away, it's not been tithed, and you're worried if you give away non tithed produce, then I might eat it without. He was not a Talmid Chacham yet. Ubishasha Amarti Lacha, and when finally I said to you, "Eili Karim Vakastes, I don't own a dime. I can't pay you anything. I can't give you anything. But Machashtani, what could you possibly have thought then? Says Rabbi Akiva, Amarti, I thought, Shema Higdish Kol Nechasa L'Shamayim. Maybe you made a neder and you gave everything away. And you didn't own anything. Now that's pretty unlikely. But Amalei said to him, Havoida, I swear, he said, Kach Haya. That's what happened. Hadarti Kol Nechasai B'Shvil Hukenes B'ni Shaloi Asak B'Taira. I was very angry with my son Hurkanus because he wouldn't go to yeshiva. He just wants to. There's a whole story there. Maybe I get, if I have time, I'll mention it. And I got annoyed and I gave away all my property so he wouldn't inherit a dime. Because Shivati Etzel Chaverai Badram. And when I came to my colleagues in the south, Hitiru Li Kol Nadarai. He did Kol Nidre. Hataras Nadarim. It's all happening Erev Yom Kippur. He realized, oh, I'm a fool. I'm not going to achieve anything by disinheriting my son. I'm going to get my money back. And once I got my money back, here's the money. The atak, Hashem Shedananti Leschut. And just like you judge me favorably, Hamakom Yadin Otcha Leschut. So again, Erev Yom Kippur. At the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva is trying to make the most reasonable assumptions. Maybe the land is leased. Maybe the animals are leased. Maybe the fruit is not tithed. And when it comes, push comes to shove, maybe he gave away all his produce or all his belongings for some reason, or Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus has turned into the biggest rosher you can imagine. On Erev Yom Kippur, he sends away a guy who's worked for him for 3 years with nothing because he's a schwindler. Which of those is more likely? He must have given his money away. It's just not possible that Rabbi Elazar HaGadol would act that way on Erev Yom Kippur. And that turned out to be true. The backstory is very interesting. Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus was about tshuva. His father, Hurkanus, the elder, didn't want him to get frum. He was very unhappy that he was now religious. Cut him off from everything. His father was a big businessman, very rich. And there was a big fallout because the son's now about tshuva and gone like over the deep end. And Rabbi Elazar was really charif. And eventually the story is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai invited the father to the yeshiva and got Rabbi Eliezer to give the drosha, and the father was crying. He goes, oh, this is so beautiful. I didn't realize, you know, I've never been to Eshat Torah before or whatever it is, and I didn't realize this is what you did. What I thought you were doing was like brainwashing, and this is beautiful. And there was a, you know, a rapprochement, a reconciliation. How beautiful. Except the next generation, the children of the Baal Tshuva, Hurkanus the son, wants to be like grandpa, a businessman. I don't want to go to yeshiva. I like grandpa. I like his lifestyle more. And Rabbi Eliezer is annoyed. Like, I became a Baal Tshuva so that you can go off the derech. Like, difficult, you know? Children of Baal Tshuva is a tough time. And then eventually there's all that stress. So the Gemara is dealing with this very strained relationships. It's very interesting. 24 and 25, I'll leave you to read on your own. All situations where things look really sketchy. But it turned out that actually they were good. And the only reasonable way to explain it, even though far-fetched, was a positive way. And you can read them on your own. You can look at the Gemaras there. It's very, very interesting. Like we said, just let's finish off, and we'll deal with the Maris Ayin points just right now. 26 is the Gemara that you're not meant to be Choshek Sherim. It brings Moshe Rabbeinu, the famous case, that he said the Jewish people won't listen. And in the end, he's the one that didn't listen. And he was Choshed them, and that was not correct. But at the end of the day, there is something called Chashad. It's not really Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin, this is the other end of the sort of the stick. Maris Ayin is where I do something which is which looks good, and other people, but people won't understand what it is, and will say, oh, I didn't know that was allowed. I'm going to do that too. So maybe it doesn't look good. Give me a classic example is dairy-free milk. Yeah, if someone sees you having a meat meal when you're pouring dairy-free milk in your coffee, and they don't realize, oh, that must be milk, and this man's a Talmid Chacham, and he'd never do anything wrong. I didn't know you're allowed to have milk and meat. I'll do that too. That's Maris Ayin, where you didn't do anything wrong, and the person thought you wouldn't do anything wrong, and they made a terrible error because it was misleading. Yeah, Chashad is the opposite, where people are going to look at you and think, eh, like we said at the beginning of the year, they're going to judge you badly. They're not allowed to judge you badly. You've got to worry about them judging you badly. Because even though we're not meant to judge people ever, we're meant to judge the situations, like we said, Sadiq, Rosha, Beinoni, etc. But people do judge. Have a look at number 28 and 29. Says the God, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, the promise to the Jewish people, V'nichmasha ha'aretz v'fnei Hashem, the land will be conquered, V'achat ha'shuvu, and you'll live in the land, V'yitem nikiyim mi Hashem u'mi Yisrael. And you have to be clean, not just in the eyes of God, But you have to be clean in the eyes of people. And the bigger Talmud Chacham you are, you have to be even more squeaky clean. It's very hard. Look at the Gemara, the Mishnah in Shkalim, number 29. Ein hatayrim nichnas loy bepargod b'chafot. Meaning someone who deals with the Lishka in the Shkalim. He's in the finance departments of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's dealing with money all day long. He's not allowed to walk into the finance areas with a hem on his cloak. V'lo mabanal, he's not allowed to walk in with shoes. V'lo b'sandal, or with sandals. V'lo b'tfilin, not with tfilin, because people are going to say, oh, he's slipping coins in here and there. V'lo b'kamayr, or not with an amulet. Shema ya'ani, maybe the guy's going to get poor. V'yomru, what will people say? Ah, you know why he's poor? Ma'avon alishka ani, he's poor because he's a thief. Or shema yasher, or maybe he'll get rich. V'yomru, they'll say, ah, mitshumas alishka ani, you mean you can't win with people. Even if the guy gets rich, if the guy gets poor, people are going to assume that you're a ganav, and it's terrible. Because the person has to do the right thing by people, to look squeaky clean by people, just like by Hashem, and he brings the pasuk, v'yisim nikiyim me'Hashem Yisrael, and then he brings the pasuk, we say, or paraphrase in benching, u'matzachem v'seichel tov, v'einei elukim v'adam. Meaning, yes, there are all sorts of mitzvahs not to judge. And let's summarize. We have a mitzvah never to judge people individually, personally. We never judge people because they could be a big tzaddik. You've never been in their shoes. You don't know who they are. How can we be the judge? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge. But we need to judge situations because we need to protect ourselves. We need to work out the right answers. We don't want to be a friar. And there comes the mitzvah of B'tzedi Tishba Amitecha. Judge situations. And to do that, you have to be analytical. Are they a tzaddik? Are they a rosha? Are they a rabbonini? Does it look good? Does it look bad? Da, 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 da. So it's no less complicated to judge situations than to keep Hilcha Shabbos. Hilchas B'tzedi Tishba Amitecha is also very, very detailed, and we have to know how to use that as well. So there's a lot to say, and we've managed to get through most of it. Next week we'll go on to Pastor's New, Be'ezrat Hashem, but hopefully you felt that was interesting and useful, and certainly very relevant.